Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Titans. Robbie and Rextra brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. Big A, I brought this up earlier in the show. It's pretty difficult for me to really care about this Titans general manager search right now. However, there is a Titans general manager search going on. So what do you make of where things currently are in that process? And if you had to identify a favorite right now, who do you think it would be?
Oh, I have no idea about a favorite. Somebody pronounced a favorite early, and the favorite was in the 40% that didn't get called back. So
that was true. One of the Green Bay folks?
No, Reggie McKenzie. Your outlet pronounced Reggie McKenzie as the favorite when the initial 10 came out. So I am surprised by the quality of these candidates. I mean, I thought that they would have trouble drawing people. I am really surprised that the NFL has judged this job to be, paraphrasing, like the paramount job in the Titans front office. I don't know how the Titans convinced the league of that, which meant that teams couldn't turn down interview requests, which is fine. I think it's a lateral move, probably in effect for some of these people. But you know, Ian Cunningham from Chicago was a candidate for this job when Rand Carthon got it.
Yep.
Not that that does anything great. The other candidates from that we've never heard from again. But Spytek, Dobbs.
All right, for the listener, review the
John
finalists.
Spytek, Buccaneers assistant general manager, Ed Dobbs, Colts assistant general manager, Terrence Gray, Bills director of player personnel, Mike Borgonzi, the Chiefs assistant general manager. That's a big one.
Yep.
Ian Cunningham, Bears assistant general manager, John Eric Sullivan, Packers vice president of player personnel. And I think people look, I wrote this yesterday, at Ian Cunningham, who's from the Bears, and think, well, I don't want somebody from the Bears. Well, he's been with good teams before that, and I think the same thing about Ed Dobbs. Well, I don't want a guy from the Colts. The Colts stink. Well, if you look, Cunningham, you know, first off, these guys could be making spectacular recommendations to their bosses and you know, being brushed aside. Yep. Or whatever. But Cunningham.
But how do you really get down to that?
You don't. But Cunningham worked with the Ravens for a long time under Ozzie Newsome. Who's maybe the greatest general manager of all time. And he worked for the Eagles under Howie Roseman, who is a
pretty darn good one.
Pretty darn good one. Dobbs, before working with Chris Ballard, you know, worked in other good places. Sullivan's an extreme on the other side. He works only for the Packers and only knows the Packers' way. So what do you want there in terms of stuff? I think this is a pretty decent list of candidates, considering what we all think, that it's not such a great job.
Well, it's still, we were talking about this earlier. Look, I am personally, and you can join me or not, you probably won't, PK, I am personally going to hold Brinker accountable if they make bad picks.
Yes.
But and I think he gets credit if they make good picks. That's just how I look at it. But it doesn't mean that this job as assistant regional manager isn't important, right?
Yeah.
I mean there's a lot to the job that is very critical. Again, it's like I made the comparison earlier of Nick Holtz. It's like he's not the play caller, so he took way less crap this year just from like the fans and media than most OCs do, right? Especially for a team this bad offensively, a 3-14 team. Because everybody knows he's not calling the plays, but still a critical job. If it's not a critical job, how do guys who have that exact job in the NFL get head coaching jobs?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
The question, if I'm a candidate for this job, is are people going to look at it like are people going to diminish what my work was if it was good because everybody kind of knows the deal with Brinker?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest question here. I look forward to being in a position to ask Brinker about it. Seems like he's insulated or trying to insulate in a way where he's got the most power and the least accountability. Though, you know, he's put it on the record several times that he's got final say and final authority on all football matters. So I don't know how he can get away from any decisions made except later to say, well, I let my general manager make those decisions.
But no one's buying that. Well, I mean, yeah. All that matters is if Amy buys it.
Yeah,
I guess,
will Amy buy it is the question. And how much can he get Amy on a string is the question. But, you know, and they haven't used the word collaboration, right? We haven't heard the word collaboration, I don't think, once in his in the releases that they put out. Or in the articles that they put out with Wyatt talking to these guys first, and then in the conversations that I had, that Teron had, that Nick Suss had, whoever else had, we haven't seen the word collaboration. So the combination of not using the word collaboration, which is now a poison word based on the failure of collaboration.
Yeah, and because so many of us have made fun of it.
Yeah, and with the reminder multiple times that he's got final authority – I think we put everything on Brinker's plate, whether he's aiming it at the general manager or not. Chad Brinker doesn't have final authority and not decide what they're doing with this number one pick in terms of using it or trading it or any of that, and things fall on him. The buck stops with him, period. But it's not it's less significant, this position, but it's not insignificant to be the chief guy's right-hand man.
Well, and it may end up being a lateral move in function. It's not a lateral move in title. How big a deal is that to these people, right?
And the NFL seems to think it's a significant position.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to build your resume, getting what the NFL says is a significant position is a good thing to have as the most recent job on your resume.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, John Lynch is the Niners GM. He gets a lot. I mean, he's the GM. He gets credit, but Kyle Shanahan has final say, right? I mean, I think that's
pretty
everybody
well established.
That's reported. That's known. So I guess how is that different?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it just does anybody else really have this power structure, this way of doing things?
Yeah,
and is that the most effective model? I don't know. Like, I've never...
They're revolutionizing the NFL.
I don't know. Like, it's... And then, in terms of the GM, like, you bring up Bargonzi from Kansas City. Like, I think he's high on a lot of people's lists, not only here with the Titans, but just the future of what he could be looking around the league. Do you... I think there's an assumption that it's just going to end up being John Eric Sullivan, and that's going to be the way things end up here. From a lot of Titans fans, and maybe it is. I would be pleasantly surprised if it wasn't that, and it ended up being, you know, Bargonzi or somebody else.
I think him or Cunningham,
yeah,
who I think are legit candidates for like different, like higher level, quote unquote, GM
correct
jobs, GM jobs with autonomy. If they got either of those guys, then I would be impressed.
Yeah. I mean, those are people you'd want in your organization.
Yes.
I think one of whom you were, you know, considering having run your organization as recently as 2 years ago. Look, it's hard. You know, there's a lot written now. I was listening to you guys coming in about your level of interest in this. I mean, I've avoided this. Everybody writes capsules on these guys and big analysis. All
Johnny's
you're doing,
got a tweet every time.
Yeah.
I mean, I tweet that they've interviewed, but all you're doing when you do those capsules is rewriting the bios that are on the team's websites that they work for now. So you can get that if you're interested in Dodge, you go to the Colts website and see what – now, a couple of these guys don't have bios on their website, but they do have Wikipedias. So I don't think I served my readership very well to have that. I did a little survey of four personnel guys I know, like knowing what you know about what the Titans want on this job. Who do you think's well suited? And I did a little poll there, and Thomas Dimitroff did well in that because they thought he would serve the role of what Brinker has said he's looking for well, and he didn't make the final cut to six. But I think it's more of a hurry up and wait situation. Like you guys said, when we know who the guy is, I want to dig into the guy. I want to hear from the guy. I want to know all of that. Right now, I mean, people may be curious to click on anything you write about them, but I don't know how much I can offer new outside of talking to the people I know and finding out what they think about these guys, which I've squeezed, you know, what I can out of those people, and that's it.
First off, a couple things here. Number one, shout out to DJ Burnside for putting together a nice DeForest Buckner and Grover Cleveland leaving the field after a big win on Twitter. I've now retweeted that at R. Stanley NHL. So it's good to see Grover Cleveland getting things done.
Check that out.
Secondly, I will say you brought up Johnny real quick on the Glendon front. It has been nice this week with Vrabel being hired in New England. You know, Vrabel got hired in the clip of him saying, "Losing sucks, Gentry," made the rounds again.
Oh,
and
we got heard
to
the Trey
live
Avery.
Trey Avery one more time, baby.
Not
loved
one
it.
More time. That's going to live on.
It's Johnny,
on.
So he's been all blessed.
He's been all over Boston.
New Hampshire, yeah. Rhode Island. They all know Johnny G now.
High moment for Gentry. They're all wondering who Gentry is, and they're all wondering, who is this guy? who's Trey Avery, and why is somebody asking about him?
Pardon me. Hold on.
Mike, Trey Avery.
By the way,
whispering
quick,
Johnny.
On the same front, I just want to shout out Richard Snyder on the YouTube chat. Grover Washington Jr., saxophone player, and then Grover Cleveland Alexander mentioned on the text line. So
playing
there
baseball.
We go. We've got Grovers.
We've got
our Grovers.
Category filled.
Yes, and Grover Cleveland Alexander, you could stretch into two.
You could,
if you wanted.
You could.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful illustration. You see this? Follow at Dennis J. Burnside on Twitter if you're still on that hellscape. It'll make it better for you.
615-737-1025. We'll get into some quarterback options with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program talking all things Titans. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Had a lot of discussion about the veteran quarterback options for the Titans. Obviously, pick number one, they have the option of Shedeur Sanders and or Cam Ward if they want to take it. If not, veteran options, not plentiful and not necessarily great out there for the Titans. Let's start with this. I read off the numbers yesterday, PK. Aaron Rodgers this year, 63% completion percentage, almost 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 picks, 6.7 yards an attempt. He's 41 years old, and as we know, there's a lot of baggage that comes with him. If the Jets part ways with him, and we'll see what they do at head coach and general manager, but if the Jets decide to part ways with Rodgers, should the Titans pursue him this offseason?
No. I mean, I think there's just too much downside. I know he played better later in the season, but 41 is 41. His game's not close to what it was. And he brings too much never mind the circus and the attention and all that. That's fine. But the demands on personnel and him needing his exact receivers and all of that, they need a guy to come and plug in and work with what they give him. Not a guy who's going to come in and demand structure. Chad Brinker and the new GM and Callahan, for better or worse, are going to get draft picks and draft guys and pick free agents. And Brinker's in charge of the football operation, whether you like that or not. He has final authority. Wrong quarterback. Aaron Rodgers.
Reverse Robin Hood?
Aaron Rodgers, in New York, had a degree of final authority.
He did.
They're not giving that to a quarterback, nor should they.
No. Alan Lazard, baby.
I do wonder with him, though. Like, I understand that what I'm about to say is a bit hilarious. If he's going to continue playing, doesn't there have to be a little bit of self-awareness on his part that, hey, you're probably not in the same position as you used to be to demand those sort of things.
Well, if this is the job he gets, if this is the starting job that's available to him, then doesn't – I mean, if he doesn't get it at that point, then I don't know. You know,
right,
I don't
but
know
if, he doesn't get it, if he has to accept the fact that I'm at a point in my career where I don't get that, is he going to happily not get it?
I don't
or
know.
Is he going to broodingly not get it?
Probably
what,
the latter.
What would you get?
Brian, if I'm Brian Callahan, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
He's not good enough to offset it. You know,
I agree with that entirely.
So who's your guy?
I mean, it comes down, I think, to Cousins or Carr. Carr checks the ball down a hell of a lot. And I think you'd have to get that out of his system. But he's 3 years younger than Cousins. And look, if I'm considering Cousins, I got to get him out on the field and I got to run him around and I got to run people at him and I got to make him cut. And I've got to see the physical stuff. And, you know, is he willing to do that or is he reluctant to do that? If he's reluctant to do that, that tells me a lot. If he's willing to do it and I like what I see, I feel pretty good about it. And he brings me the leadership that this team is absolutely lacking. But I really worry about it. Second year off Achilles, better.
Yeah.
But at 36...
And already immobile.
Well, here's the problem.
Yeah, and you can't take Rex Rhodes' opinion on this. I mean, he needs to put a disclaimer out there all the time that, you know, he was worshiping this guy in college as a fanboy.
Yes, yes, I was worshiping him.
Hasn't gone away.
It's like, I went to press
conference. Just put an asterisk on it every time
you talk
about
it. Can you sign my football, Kirk? And yeah, then I'll ask you a question.
Yeah. Do you have Kirk Cousins memorabilia in your home?
I do not, but I'd like some.
Can we come examine your home?
Sure.
For this?
Sure.
I could have a meal at your home.
I'm talking about coming to people's house today.
If I could have a meal at your home, yeah, that would make us a new level of friend, and I could inspect the memorabilia.
Because exactly.
I think you probably have something.
But I got it. I'll have
a game program or something like that.
I suppose I'll have to make a place for Brinker, though. But, yeah, we can make that work.
Here's the problem.
You're a big fan of Kirk Cousins. I mean, you should mention that once in a while.
I've said that many times. Yeah. I think Kirk Cousins is one of the best people that I've ever covered. Absolutely. He's fantastic.
There you go.
He's a legit human being.
Here's the problem.
The people by getting him to say that.
That I think you could run into on the veteran quarterback front. Let's say Aaron Rodgers retires, which I think is a possibility. Not a definite, but I think it's a possibility.
Forced by lack of options.
Which could be, that could be part of it. Derek Carr, how likely is it that he's not going to be in New Orleans? Now, you know, Mickey Loomis came out yesterday and said he's got a high level of confidence in Derek Carr as they move forward here. Is that just lip service? Are they going to actually move on from him? We'll see. But let's say he stays. So Derek Carr stays in New Orleans. Rodgers retires. And Cousins either goes to Pittsburgh or decides to hang it up himself. Says he doesn't want
to
play
anymore.
Or goes to San Francisco. Then what? What do you do at quarterback if you're the Titans on the veteran front?
Yeah, look, the Titans are not at the head of the line. I think people make too much of this, generally speaking. You know, why would somebody come to Tennessee, yada, yada? You know, if the money's right, the tax situation's great here, Nashville's a great place to live, all of that. But Blake Bedingfield pointed this out. It's one thing if you come the first year with Callahan, right, and Callahan says, come be my guy, help set the culture here, and let's do all of this. It's a completely different thing to come the second year after he won three games, and you're attaching yourself to a guy that we're talking about potentially a lame duck.
Yeah.
And so you come in and you're like, well, if it doesn't go well, my guy might be on the street. Then the next guy might not like me, and I've wasted a year. And what I'm looking for in my last go around, what's every quarterback looking for, is a chance to make a Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
And this team's not making a Super Bowl run next year. So you're going to have to overwhelm with money, for one, and you're going to have to sell like hell, on the other hand. And there still are going to be teams that have probably better, A, opportunities to win, and B, stability. Or you could join up with a new head coach who's at the beginning of that culture setting. So there's a lot working against you for a change that isn't working against you last year.
Yep.
When a team comes in, where folks will say, well, why would a guy want to come here? Usually that's not the case. But this year it is stacked against them in a way that it typically isn't.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just about every con you can have is now part of the discussion. So what you're saying is draft Sanders or Ward and just go there.
I don't love him.
Milrow?
High tide! High tide!
We'll have more with Paul Kuharski coming up next. Take more of your questions for PK on our text line, 615-737-1025, our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. Joe, question on the text line about if we're 100% sure Ryan Callahan will be back with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, Kevin from Union City, do you guys 100% believe Callahan will be back? I have a feeling we haven't heard any coaching updates because they're waiting to make a decision at GM for the decide on if Callahan or any other coach will be back. I responded in this text line, all caps, prime time.
Listen, it would be awfully big to hire this GM and to have him come in and review a whole season that he
was not a part of.
Was not a part of, and then chime in to the ultimate authority on the football team, who is Chad Brinker, who was here for part of it and was part of the hiring process for him, and to then fire him so late when he's clearly thinks he's back. Boy, you want to talk about another. People wanted Callahan fired, but how would they feel about him being fired
now.
That scenario?
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
I can't imagine that happening.
Yeah, the only reason you would do that at this point after all that you've said and done is Deion, right? Like, it's just like we are drafting Shadur and we're bringing in Deion to coach him. And that, like, it can't just be, actually this guy's bad, let's fire him.
Well, the owner put in her statement that they were bringing Brian Callahan back as head coach. Now, having said that, I recognize that this same owner
said the same thing about
Mike Mularkey. He's coming back. He's our guy. And then a week later, fired him.
And I'm shocked with the mentions of Deion Sanders, mutual interest in Dallas, that talking heads have all, like, just mentioned it, and nobody's been like, is this guy qualified to – not qualified, but equipped – not equipped. What's the word I'm looking for?
Well, qualified.
Is he ready?
Yeah, qualified.
Well, but
been a head coach for 4 years. Certainly people have made the jump.
Well, tons of head coaches have never been head coaches. They're just coordinators, and they get head coaching jobs.
Agreed. But most of them have more ties to NFL-level football.
So what's more valuable, being a head coach and being a CEO of a huge – like a college program, or being an OC or a DC in the NFL?
You know, Jeff Saturday got hired off the TV set.
Gerard Mayo, and again, it didn't work, but Gerard Mayo was just,
I just think it's bizarre for his interest and that mutual interest in Dallas to come up and for nobody to say, wait a minute, is this guy like – could he do this job? I think it's a completely legitimate question.
That's a legitimate question. But, I don't know what you're referencing. If it advances, that'll be talked about. All angles of that will be talked about.
I think that's the first question when it comes up. Like, is that for show or is that for because you think he can take Dallas
Super Bowl? I think being a head coach in college football prepares you for some things in ways that you will not be prepared for by being a coordinator in the NFL. I understand you're not in the league, but
I don't disagree with that. But he'd done it for 2 years at a high level.
He was a head coach before that.
At a school that, not in the most, what's his record against premier teams, all of that. He successfully turned a program around, but
the worst program in college football.
Yeah, and respect for that, but there are holes in Deion Sanders' coaching game.
I think what you brought up with him would be really interesting to see. Is like, all right,
that's my
question. It's clear that things got under your skin in a big way when you were at Colorado. What's that going to be like on a daily basis at the Dallas Cowboys if that's the job you take?
Right, or here with this guy,
or here, like the Kuharski
Stilly versus Pauly over there
versus Prime Glennon matchup, which Stilly I now there? Need to have.
Yeah. Glennon, ask him about six cornerbacks. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't even know their name on the roster.
Well, he's going to have no idea who Trey Avery is.
There's no chance.
This Kevin Baird guy. I don't know about this guy. Who is this guy? You a fan?
He did call him Kevin Beard, didn't he?
I mean, I'd love to see him hired in Dallas because I think it'd be likely a train wreck.
It'd be fun,
though. And Dallas Cowboys is a train wreck. It's great fun.
So if it does happen, What about the scenario of, well, they've got to have Shador, so Titans taking on Dak, which, as we talked about earlier, is $105 million in dead money for the Cowboys. But
which has never happened.
We're talking about a fantasy football scenario, getting, you know, trading that, getting picks, getting Dak.
I don't love Dak, but Dak is substantially better than anybody the Titans have had in quite some time.
Substantially better than Tannehill at his best?
Well,
no.
No, a wash, though. Outside of Tannehill, he's better than anybody they've had, you know, since McNair.
He is better than Zach Mettenberger.
But, you know, that's not an ideal situation. But, you know, you could do worse than getting him and 12 and more. And then I think you'd want to trade back up from 12. So it would be like the Rams trade in 16, where they traded down to 15 and then back up to 8.
Yep.
But, you know, Dak Prescott, look, he's a – I mean, he takes you up several notches from where you are right now.
If you have a good offseason with him, you could be a – you could certainly get to the playoffs next year.
Yeah. But, whatever that's, you know, I understand how some people wouldn't love that idea, but you've got to put some perspective on and say, you know, compared to other options in this market, where would you put Dak Prescott against these veterans we're talking about or against the rookie possibilities? You know, I think he's got to be unquestionably top, as much as I may not like him.
So Travis Hunter, I think, projects to be a pretty darn good cornerback in the NFL. The Titans don't necessarily need cornerbacks, although I have no idea what's going to happen with Jerry Sneed moving forward here. We talked about this to begin the show today. I think one thing that's going to be important for not only the Titans but a lot of these teams at the top to figure out between now and the draft, do you think that Travis Hunter can actually play both sides of the football? And maybe not full-time. Like, I think he's going to be a full-time cornerback. But whether it's 10 snaps a game, 20 snaps a game, 5 snaps a game, like, can he help you on the offensive side of the ball at wide receiver? And if you determine that the answer to that is yes, is that enough to push it over the top for you if you're the Titans to take him number one overall?
I think he'd play, like, you know, once you were comfortable with it, 12 to 20 snaps, depending on how much your defense is on the field. I mean, I think it would expand and contract based on a game shape. But I think he could do that. I think it's certainly giant added value. But I think that he's probably the best. I think he's the best player in the draft. I think if you're stuck at number one, you take him. I think it's a, you know, your roster be damned thing. Initially, I wasn't thinking that way, but I do think that way now. So it doesn't matter that you appear to be most stocked at quarterback. It's unfortunate, cornerback. It's unfortunate that you are that way. But I'd rather get out of number one and stock picks. They've got to stock picks. They've got to get more picks. Now you got to stay high. You got to stay within 8, I'd say.
All right, I want to ask you about the Vrabster. Did you watch any of his stuff this week?
I read his transcript from the opening press conference, which was pretty short. It wasn't a long read. And I saw a lot of Twitter off of his radio interview or interviews yesterday.
So Vrabel, first of all, do you think he's going to have big success there? And also, if he does have big success there, not that people can really be any more mad at Amy than they are anyway, but what's the fallout in terms of Titans fans and her, if that's the case? If they have to sit here after sitting here this year and watching Derrick Henry run for like 2,000 yards combined playoff and regular season and possibly have a shot at a Super Bowl, and then they have to spend the next few years watching Vrabel turn the Patriots into a contender again.
I think he's going to have success there, provided that in this year away, one of the things he has decided he needs to revise is his hiring for a staff. If he is still of the opinion that if he has a guy who comes in and interviews great, who doesn't have much of a resume, that guy can coach his offensive line effectively because Vrabel's a great coach and he can make people a great coach, I think that will lead to another downfall. I think if we see people resurface, too many people resurface from his staff here who were ineffective, that'd be a bad sign. He needs to replenish with better people. Josh McDaniel has been mentioned. Look, I think
McDaniels, but yes,
McDaniels. I think
Josh
people.
Wilson.
I think people will be. Your Patriots people probably want to wash their hands entirely of that, but that's a guy who's not getting another head coaching job. So you would have stability at offensive coordinator for a long time. So I don't know. You know, that's where the bar would start for me there. Do better than him or him. As long as he does that, I think, you know, he now Elliot Wolf reports to him. He's got the power structure.
I mean, it's
already
clear from his answer to me that he's
got final say.
Your guy Cowden's going to head in there and report to him, and you'll get good information on that for us.
Sure.
And so I think he's in a great position to have great success. He's got a very good quarterback. I'm impressed with Drake May. They've got a lot of roster construction to do, and that's another area where I think, you know, hopefully Cowden and Wolf, who didn't have much of a track record, can nudge him towards better players. Vrabel wasn't always the best player picker.
You didn't answer the fan question.
The fans here? Well, I mean, between watching Henry, even though it didn't make sense to have Henry back here, and Henry was the chooser of Henry's situation, despite the insistence of some other people like the Titans had magical control over him. I would think between watching Henry and watching Vrabel, who's likely to ultimately have better success than the Titans, I think not just Titans fans, but Titans brass will be chapped to no end on that. I think the Titans very much want to be smarter than Mike Vrabel, and I don't think that they will be.
615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment with PK coming up next. Got some more of your questions to get to as well.
And I've got the gangster move Vrabel can make here, too.
Oh, okay, we'll get into that
NWI
as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Paul Kuharski with us from paulkuharski.com, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Josh throwing a question out there.
Joshua.
What do y'all think about drafting a quarterback and getting a veteran for a year? The combo there.
We've talked about that.
What do you think about that?
It's a lot of QB.
Oh, I think it's, you know, look what Minnesota did. Now, if McCarthy didn't get hurt, it wouldn't have been that intriguing because Darnold was doing so well, they wouldn't have made a move. Obviously, flamed out at the end. And Atlanta did the same thing. Now, I wouldn't endorse doing what Atlanta did, spending $1 billion on your veteran and spending your first draft pick because you're not helping your team with the quarterback that's going to sit. So I wouldn't love that strategy. And I don't really love the strategy of drafting a guy in the second or third round because I just don't. Joe, I'm totally with you. Like, first rounder pan out numbers are terrible. Well, go to a second or third rounder and you're not finding, you know.
I mean, you always find the random example, Brady, of course, Purdy, of course.
Andy Dalton,
add up the numbers.
Generation ago already.
Yeah.
On the Darnold front, do you think the way the last two games went for him were bad enough where he could be out there and available for the Titans? Because I've operated under the assumption that at worst, he's going to be back on a franchise tag with Minnesota. Do you think the way that it ended with him changes that?
I mean, it's more conceivable than it was before. But do you take, you know, a handful of games that were awful, the last two, you know, in particular, and does that wash away what he did for the entire year? I think once they step back and take a breath, I mean, he's still a commodity. You know, so I don't know that it changes their plans in a big way, but it's more conceivable than it was before those two games.
Yeah, seems like we were talking long-term thing. Maybe that gets downgraded to tag, but it's hard to imagine not downgraded all the way to
be free.
Good luck.
Yeah.
The texter says Mike Vrabel is a 9-7 coach. Period. End of story. Now I would argue, well, in 2021 he went 12-5. I think 12-5, right?
Was yes, 12-5.
Yeah, 12-5.
Got the number one seed, and by the way, didn't have Derrick Henry the second half of the season. So he's not just a 9-7 coach. Period. But
I mean, you can't call him a 9-7 coach when he did that. You can't.
But he also went 6-11.
He did. Right.
So let's look.
At his best, he's a 12-5 coach.
Yeah. I'm fascinated. I don't know that he's like a Super Bowl coach. He's gonna bring championships there. He's very good. There's no doubt. And I'm fascinated to see it unfold. Here's the gangster move that I told you guys about. And I have to give credit to this to Doug LaMaurice, Kings of the North podcast, covered Ohio State forever. So Ryan Day grew up in New Hampshire, humongous Patriots fan. He and his buddies would go to the Super Bowls with Brady. It's obviously, he's the Ohio State head coach. Vrabel tried to hire him to be the Titans offensive coordinator 7 years ago.
Before LaFleur.
Yep.
And as it turns out, Urban Meyer's out, Ryan Day gets that job. Ryan Day may win the national championship with Ohio State. He also may be done with all that crap, even if that's the case. That's a lot of money you're walking away from.
Full of Barry Trotz.
But you can still make good money as an OC in the NFL, and that could be interesting.
I mean, that would be massive. But you really think he's going to step out of it in the, I don't want to do this NIL and all of that stuff?
Or it's more of the fan stuff.
I don't want to hear about Michigan when I won a national championship. Screw all you people.
Yeah, I know that, 3 years ago when the Vrabel column I wrote that everybody made fun of, or 2 years ago, I guess, right?
Yeah, they still should make fun of it because he's coach of the New England Patriots.
So?
Not Ohio State.
The job never opened, jackass. So, in that column, and, the point was made then that, with young kids in school, it was bad. You lose to Michigan with that fan base, you have young kids in school, it's that stuff is brutal. So, but, if you win the national championship, no, he's in great shape to get. I would not think that he would leave now, but if I'm Vrabel, I'm
at call.
I'm sending a text. Yeah. Because that's the thing. The OC hire is really important for Vrabel, and that would be, to me, Ryan Day is
that'd be spectacular.
Is excellent in that way.
Yeah, I would tell the people of New England fans of the Patriots, prepare to wait. He's going to be so slow and meticulous with this staff. Yep. I mean, just look at how he did it here, the initial staff, and then every time he had an opening, right? You're going to get a press release in about 6 weeks. I mean, some of this will trickle out along the way, but this whole staff. Yeah,
you get Aukerman in there.
You
got to
scoop him up before the other coaches get hired.
Will they do a thing where the entire building and Aukerman walks in?
Welcome in, Greg Aukerman. Special guest Ryan Stonehouse.
What do you think the Titans are planning for the new GM? Do you think they have a parade route?
I don't know. I can't wait to see.
Fly
what
him
kind
in
of
by helicopter to when land the Titans, on top of the building.
When the Titans were good, we used to always joke. What's the parade route?
Yeah.
Because we needed to plan, for the Monday after the Super Bowl trip. What's the parade route?
Did you rip them when they had a parade after they lost the Super Bowl?
I actually wasn't here. I was on my way to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl back in the day where a newspaper would make that kind of investment. It was tremendous.
Go cover that incredibly important Pro Bowl.
Hey, you guys have a nice parade.
We wonder why newspapers have struggled. They're sending you out to cover the freaking Pro Bowl.
Well, it's actually terrific because the Ray Lewis stuff just went down.
Yeah.
And I was amid all the best players in the league to talk about, that stuff. Mm. What's the parade route for the new GM coming in? Are they going to start it at the airport? Or will they just Great Circle Road?
Drop roses in front of him as he walks into the facility?
I think the new GM riding into the facility on a horseback with Amy Adams Strunk on the other horse could be awesome. So he likes horses.
Or you could do rickshaw. Rickshaw had to be on the list of possibilities.
But to your point, Amy is into horses.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you could bring some out from her stable.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very good. Very good.
BK, thank you for being with us.
Who's shoveling the poop behind that bad boy? We'll know who's in the real dire straits.
Go ahead and get off that horse. We got to clean some things up around here.
Who's the next long-term employee we're firing? Get your shovel. Don't block the box. Lock your locks.
Jason Big Joe up next. 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.